I smiled about this. It just had one of those moments where you reflect back, Noel. I saw a little tiny, dare I say it, short Noel coming up that side. Miss Bonnie and I met, goodness gracious, 41 years ago when she came to my church. She was going to train. She was working for Child Evangelism Fellowship, and she was going to train our teenagers. I was going to run a bunch of Bible clubs in our neighborhoods around our church. I was a young Bible college student, and she was a younger child evangelism worker. And I called her up. I thought she was an old woman. She thought I was an old man, and showed up at church that night. And I don't know, it wasn't exactly one look, but maybe the second look may have done it. And we just knew. And so when I saw Noel coming up the aisle there, I thought, oh me, I hope there's not a young man out there who's thinking, you know, and when Noel walks up there. But anyway, it's very exciting. Well, some time ago, and I don't want to spoil her testimony, but the Lord spoke to Noel and just about what He might have her to do, what she might be her calling in life. She was in college at the time. And so just very exciting to see and hear that. And so anyway, I want her to come and let you hear it from her own mouth, what the Lord might want her to do. And so, Noel, why don't you just come and relax? And this is one time at Crooked Creek when we're not in a hurry, okay? You just come and share with us, okay? You can hide behind this big desk here. In fact, you can hide most of you behind this desk right here. All right.
Hi, I'm Noel, for those of you who don't know me. And really earlier this year, I was really struggling on whether or not I should go back to school or not. It was a very stressful time, and it came down to either I had to pay for college or drop the semester. Well, the day that I had to make that decision, my mom talked to Miss Bonnie, and long story short, she got Miss Kathy's number. Miss Kathy Peake is in charge of CEF around Jackson County. And talked to her and found out what TCE, which is teaching children effectively, what it was, and thought it really sounded like something that I would be interested in. So I've always had a big burden for children, and this was the perfect opportunity, but I wasn't completely convinced at first because I was going to have to drop out of school if I was going to do this ministry, at least for the semester, because I couldn't do both with the time and everything. My mom brought this whole thing to me an hour before I had to make that decision. And so I immediately just started crying and praying, and I just told God, I was like, all right, I need a decision now. I need you to talk to me right now. I was like, direct word would be great. But, you know, of course, that didn't happen. But there was a little New Testament Bible sitting beside me, and I just picked it up, and I was like, I don't even know what to read right now. I was like, God, you've got to show me. So I just opened it up to a random page, and I couldn't even find the verse after all this happened. I looked, tried to go back and find it. I couldn't find it, but just what it said was, trust me, I'll show you the way to go. And I opened it up again to another random spot, and it said, go and speak boldly for me. And it's just every single time I just opened it up randomly, it was saying, go and speak for me and trust me, I'll lead you. And so I finally, that was a really big encouragement to me, and I just finally broke down and was like, all right, God, I'm scared half to death to do this ministry, but if this is your will, I'll follow you and I'll trust you. So after that, I met with Miss Kathy Peake, and she told me really what the whole ministry was, because I really didn't have a clear presentation of what it was. And what it is we go into public elementary schools and do a Bible club as an after-school program, and we teach them a Bible lesson and sing songs and teach them Bible verses and have games and fun activities, and it's just a really good ministry. Well, through the whole course that I was taking, it was just amazing how they showed me how you weave the gospel into your Bible lessons and stories to, you know, note, therefore, that they're no longer just stories. And it was just awesome to see that. And to really, they teach you how to really teach the Bible verses for the kids to understand it. And the whole ministry is just awesome. And God has really blessed us with this great opportunity to go in and minister to these kids. And as I went to the Bible clubs down in Isla, just to see the kids lighten up, their eyes lighten up when you tell them how God loves them and how Jesus came and died for them. And the kids are just so attentive, and they're really into the club, which is awesome. And it's really opened my eyes that this is the time where kids really need to learn about God. Some of them don't have the best home lives, and sometimes it's the first time. I know several of the kids told Miss Kathy that that's the first time they had ever heard "I love you" was at the club. And it's just awesome to see that the kids light up and stuff. And I really hope that everybody will be willing to help with this ministry, because it's a great opportunity that God has opened up. And I hope that y'all will help as the Lord directs you, whether it's helping in the club. We definitely need workers from all ages. We want to start at least at 16. You want to create enough age gap where the kids see you as authority. But most of the clubs are run by retired male and female people, and it's really good for the kids because they get kind of like a grandparent feel out of it. Or if it's financial help or just praying, number one would be praying for the kids and the workers. And whatever you feel like the Lord would have you do would be greatly appreciated. And I'm super excited about this ministry, and I hope y'all are too.
All right, thank you, Noah. Why don't you stay with me just a moment right up there? Okay. Oh, that's good. That's good right there. That's good. All right, I'm about to get myself into something, an area that I don't know a whole lot about here. So anyway, for some long while now, I have just been burdened about the children who are in the public school systems in our area. And I've just been this, dull ache that I've experienced about it. I feel like our church does a good job working with kids who are home educated. I feel like we have a ministry to those who are in Christian schools, mainly the one big one, Athens Christian, and all. And yet, and we have some other children who are in public school, but I just feel like we're not doing all that needs to be done there to help those children. They are undoubtedly the most needy, because those kids that are in the private Christian schools, they obviously have parents who love them because somebody's paying the bill. And then the ones who are homeschooled, that's kind of self-explanatory there. Those parents are paying a high price for their education as well. But those out there in the public school are the ones who are, they're kind of the rest. And so I've just had a burden for them for some good little while. And I remember when Kathy Peake came to our church here some years ago and taught our teacher. She just did a teacher training course for our Sunday school teachers. And when she came, she was telling us about this, and she said, Brother Tom, she said, you know that one of your local schools is open up there. It doesn't have a club in it. And so I just kind of blew it off, because I didn't know anything we could do about it, but I couldn't totally blow it off. It just kind of stuck with me. I couldn't get away from it. And so just over the years, that has continued to grow, and just stirs me now. The club in Isla that Kathy teaches herself at Isla Elementary, they say the average club is about, 60 maybe, Noel, do you think?
We have anywhere between 80 and 130.
Okay. The club at Isla is a larger one. Kathy told me the other day that she had 130 students in it, in the club, who came voluntarily after school hours to be in that Bible club. Those kids are just really, really hungry to hear about the Lord. And so I've just been so burdened about it, particularly since I heard that. Kathy told me that they had decided in their church, her husband pastors First Baptist Church of Isla, and they had decided to take some of these children because you have great liberty in what you can invite the children to do outside of school, and or outside of the school. And so they had decided to take the children and involve them in their church's Christmas program. And so during the school time, this is the way I understand it, those kids who were going to be involved in it left the school, went over kind of cross town there, whatever, and went into the church, into Isla Baptist Church, and said that these little children, many of them, it was the first time they had ever been inside a church. And one little boy who had been in the club and had heard about Jesus and His death on the cross, he walked in and they were told before they went in there, they said, look, we're going into God's house now. This is the place where you're reverent and you understand that this is God's house. No running. You stay in line. You walk in there. We're going into God's house. And so the little children went in there in awe. And Kathy said they were just looking around to the left and to the right. They were actually in a church. Wow. And she said that as one little boy got about halfway up the aisle, he saw something. And he couldn't contain himself. He said, look, it's the cross. When I heard that story, my insides almost came out. Here was a little boy who had not only never been in a church, but he was stunned at the sight of an actual cross. Wow. Wow. It just kind of illustrates where those children are. Also, it's very illustrative that child evangelism has decided that to be effective in those schools, they've been doing it for a number of years now, they've decided that some of the best people to be involved in these clubs are actually seniors or retired people. And it's because of that grandparently way that some of you folks have about you. The kids just respond to it. A lot of them have never experienced a whole lot of real love. And so there's just a need there. When I first heard about it, I thought, well, it's a ministry that you could use your teenagers in. But actually, they have to severely limit the number of teenagers because you really can't make a mistake in the club. There are so many strictures that are there because of suspicions and because it is a public school system that you're working out of. And so they have, in fact, in order to run the clubs effectively, they say you have to have at least 12 people for each club who are committed to it and who say, look, I'm going to be there. And every person has a job. It's not like you can just show up if you want to. If you take a job in the club, you're responsible to be there. You do that job. They check the children in. They check them out. The numbers have to match exactly because, as you would know, you can't lose a child, right? We can't lose one around here. They sure enough can't lose one at the public school. And so they have had to be very, very strict about that, very, very careful about it. And so anyway, it's a challenging ministry, but it's one where children are being saved all the time because once you get them in the club, it's under the official auspices of Child Evangelism Fellowship, and they know what it's about. Their parents have signed to allow them to be there. And here's the beautiful thing. You can tell them anything you want to tell them. You can tell them about Jesus. You can tell them about that cross. You can tell them about His death, burial, and resurrection. And it's all good. And so it's just a wonderful, wonderful opportunity. So anyway, just kind of thought we would tell you a little bit about that. Now, Noel, you've heard what I said. Did I get that halfway right? Anything else you need to say about this? Okay. The reason I asked specifically for our seniors to be here is that one of the parts of the evaluation about whether or not we need to do this is just to gauge the interest and see if we have enough people who are interested in this to staff the club. Because if you can't staff the club, you better not do it. And so anyway, just wanted to kind of throw that out to you. Noel is going to be around here, obviously, after the service. Noel, if you will, if you just kind of stay here in the auditorium in case they need to talk to you and ask you something. And just let her know if you say, you know, I'd just like to find out more about that. You tell her what your interest is, no matter what level it's at. If it's mild interest, strong interest, or whatever, you just kind of talk to Noel, and she should know something after tonight, we think, about this thing. Okay, now, the funny thing about this is that we've been trying to schedule this meeting with Kathy Peek for 2 weeks. And for 2 weeks, something has come up. The first time, Kathy was sick, seriously sick. The second week, as she was preparing to come to the club, in fact, as she was on the way to the church here to meet with us, her father-in-law fell, who is 91 years old, and was severely injured. Her husband had a funeral, had to finish the funeral, so Kathy had to stop what she was doing and run to the hospital and take care of that. So anyway, it's been postponed twice. We don't know exactly what that means, but we're just going to pray about it and pray the thing all the way through. You see, Noel, we've got a worker ready here, and let's just see what God does with this thing. Now, anybody have a question about this? Bill, stand up, if you will. Once a week. Once a week. Meets once a week. Kathy.
The club in Isla goes from about 2:30 to 4:15. The kids start getting there between 2:45 and 3 o'clock, and they like to start the actual club meeting at 3 o'clock. But we have to have the kids out of there by 4:15.
Miss Elizabeth, yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. It's we go around to different churches asking for support. It's a very big mission-oriented club. Yes, ma'am.
I think I can answer that, Miss Elizabeth. That's what we keep trying to get Kathy here to find out. We don't know. Yeah. Any other question? Bill. No, you've already had your turn, but you okay. Okay, go ahead. Thank you, Brother Bill. Good word. Isn't it great? I'm sorry. Yes, I'm sorry, Teresa. Please stand up, please, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. It just depends on what the school has as their other after-school programs. The one at Isla meets on every Monday, but it would just depend on whatever day we wanted it to be on.
Yes, Kathy.
We could try to get a day down, but it would really depend on after we talked to the actual school and got in there and see what days they would allow us to be in there.
Wanda, please. Do. She just whispered to me, I don't know. Okay. Maybe we're looking at these questions a little bit prematurely here. I just wanted to give you a little opportunity to ask a few quick ones here. Okay, Noelle, you're a free woman. Okay. I have the hardest time with these little girls that are now grown up into little women. When I look at Noelle, I was there the day Noelle was born. And were you there too, Rick? No, there was. I don't think Ricky was there. There was a young redheaded guy there, but Ricky wasn't there. That white-headed guy, I don't think he was there. All right. But anyway, what I started to say is I want to reach out there and hug them like I did when they were little kids, but they've grown up, and so I don't dare do that, but I wanted to. Noelle, where are you? I wanted to hug you. I just couldn't do it. All right. Okay, that's good. Now, moving on to something else. how long ago was it? Probably, I've forgotten how long it was, maybe 2 years ago. I came to the church, or actually I came to the men first, and I came to the church, and asked you about taking on an associate pastor here in the church. And we discussed that and prayed about it. And initially it started out being an absolutely unanimous thing, and then it became a little less so as time went along there. And so we finally decided to do it. And I wondered at the time, it was so interesting. We had about 13 people at Crooked Creek, out of all of you, about 13 people at Crooked Creek that had some misgivings about it. And it wasn't any, I don't think it was anything against Matt, nor was any failure to follow my leadership. I didn't take it that way at all. They just had misgivings about it. And so I asked them, I said, look, will you just trust me on this one? Will you just follow me on this one? And so the church decided to do that. But I had this secret fear. You shouldn't have secret fears, right? But I had this secret fear when that happened, when the vote was taken, that maybe those folks would who had those misgivings, that they might bail out on us. I just had this fear. Those fears go all the way back to my childhood. There was this two little boys that moved in next door to us. Their names were Milton and Stanley. And Stanley was the smaller of the two. And one Christmas, he got a football. And so all of us were excited about it because not just everybody had a football in those days. And I didn't have one, and nobody else in the neighborhood had one. But Stanley got a football, and so he would bring it over to my backyard. We had the biggest backyard, and all of us little neighborhood boys would play football or some brand of it. And so, but the problem was that if anybody ever tackled Stanley with his ball, it made him mad. Nobody was supposed to tackle Stanley. And so it would make him mad, and he would jump up immediately, take his ball and put it up under his ball and say, well, if that's the way y'all are going to play, I'm going to take my ball and go home. And he would run lickety-split, taking his ball, the game ball. He would jump over the ditch between my yard and his yard, run in his house, slam the door. Didn't win any friends for Stanley. But anyway, I've observed down through the years that immature people tend to do that. They tend to, if things don't go their way, they take their ball and go home. Well, if that's the way y'all are going to be, if you're not going to do it the way I want to do it, well, I'll take my ball and go home. And I wondered if we would have anyone like that. I was hoping, I was praying that we would not. You know, beloved, to my knowledge, we did not lose one person over that. And I just want to commend especially those of you who had misgivings about that for your maturity in the Lord. You've shown that you were really, that your heart was really in the right place. You were trying to do the right thing. And so the Lord bless you for that. You've been faithful. Matt tells me that some of the folks who had those misgivings have become close friends. They've fellowshiped with him. He can tell no difference in the way they act. And I really appreciate that. I think it's a real sign of maturity, and God bless you for doing that. Now, I knew when we called Matt that I knew what his calling was. I knew I had watched his gifts, and I knew that he was going to be a senior pastor somewhere someday. I mean, I could just see it. I mean, those of you who are in your profession, Debbie, you know who will make a good veterinarian. You know, Mark, you know who will make a good engineer. Well, I know who will make a good preacher. And so I'd watched him. I knew he'd be a senior pastor one day somewhere. And so I wanted him. I don't think I ever verbalized this, but I wanted him to give us 3 years here. That's what I wanted. And we talked a long time about that and just set down a whole lot of guidelines. And I wanted him to give us 3 years. But I knew that I could not stand in his way if the Lord ever called him somewhere else. And so, I mean, I knew that all along, and so he's had the liberty all the way through to do what he wanted to do. And so anyway, something has come up now that we wanted to share with you tonight and just let you, so that you could pray about it. And so, Matt, if you will, why don't you come and kind of tell them a little bit about this. I don't know how to say any more about it than that, bud.
Is your curiosity piqued? For several months, I've been experiencing something strange and something different for me. And I've got to tell you right now, I'm more nervous than I ever am when I preach. But starting back in early January, I began to be burdened for a particular area of our nation. And that area is New England. I started to research and pray. And as I started to research and pray, I found out certain things. It seems like, especially within our movement, the Independent Baptist movement, there's been a big focus on planting churches and in the U.S., but a lot of those churches have been out west. And I was concerned that New England had been ignored in us reaching the people who are up there, specifically New Hampshire, Maine, and that area. So I began to research, and I found out certain things. I found out that Maine is one of the most liberal states in the United States. It's also the least religious state in the United States. I began to call pastors up there. I studied about it, and one of the things that happened was it just became a preoccupation. And it got stronger and stronger, and specifically the thoughts that I was having and that kept getting stronger and stronger would be to pastor or plant a church or possibly do a church rescue in that area. And the only way I know to describe the way that I felt was it felt like when God was calling me to preach. Just that strong. That preoccupation. I've mentioned earlier that I called some pastors up there, I called leaders, and I wanted to see if the need was real or if it was something that I was imagining. And they told me that the need is real. Some of the pastors told me they have entire communities without Bible preaching churches. And there are people who go 40, 50 minutes one way, to find a church that preaches the Bible. So I began to pray and surrender and talk with my family. Of course, Casey and I talked about it a lot. I talked with the pastor. He was shocked. No more shocked than I was. And but two things began to come to mind. Well, three things. Lord, is this my flesh? I have been content being an associate pastor. I love it. This is what God has called me to right now. I never had the strong urge to go out and be a senior pastor anywhere. But that was part of the feeling that I had with this. I'm just being honest with y'all. That was part of the feeling that I had with this. And so I was saying, Lord, is this my flesh? Am I trying to push something here that's not your will? The second thing that I thought it might be is, God, are you actually calling us? Is this where you want our family to serve? And that took a lot of surrender. Surrender on so many levels. I can't even go into all the levels of surrender that it took. But you think about moving your family, and it wouldn't even be like going to the mission field, because when you go to the mission field, when your kids grow up, they come back to where you're from normally. But if you go up there, you're talking about the Davises being in Maine, New Hampshire, New England for how long? That was hard for me to wrap my mind around. I'm as far back as I know, this is where my family's from Georgia in this area. The other thing that I thought that the Lord might be doing is testing me. It's Betty and Miss Stone, don't take offense at this, but I always said, when the Lord called me to preach, I said, "Lord, call me anywhere you want. I'll go to China. I'll go to the other side of the world. Just don't call me to those Yankees in New England." And so I wondered whether God was testing. Okay, Matt, I'm going to see if you're really willing to do that. And there was another thing that God put His finger on a few weeks ago. As y'all know, the Patch of Pirate Club sang "Little as Much" a few weeks ago. And there's a verse. Does the place you're called to labor seem so small and little known? And God put His finger on me, on my heart, because one of the things that I talked about as I talked with those pastors, they said that it is rare that a church up there ever gets above 50 people. There aren't any big Baptist churches in that part of the country. And it's almost like God was asking me, are you willing to serve me in obscurity? And I had to answer that question. But I know that if this is what God ends up leading us to do, I know what the burden is. It's two things. It's revival. And it's planting more churches. That's what it would have to be. So, as Casey and I talked about it, and I talked with the pastor about it, we decided to take a trip up there this summer in July. We didn't go on a vacation last year. It's been a while since we've been on an extended vacation. So we thought, since we didn't take one last year, we might take a little longer. It's going to be a vacation. I'm not lying about it. It's going to be cool up there in July. And it's nice up there. But the purpose would also be to kind of survey what's going on. I had to do it. These ideas are just too crazy to ignore. Now, I'm going to be upfront and honest all the way across. The thoughts have diminished some. They're not as strong as they were. But I know what I felt, and I still feel it occasionally. And so at this point, I feel that it's best to run it to ground, to just follow it all the way to the end, to visit, and just test. Lord, you know, as we drive through each town, Lord, do you want us here? Do you want us here? Lead us clearly. And if not, God, I'll be so happy to go back to Georgia. Do not get me wrong. Now, let me go ahead and state it clear right now. I'm not resigning. I'm not leaving. I would put the chances of this happening at this point below 50%. Well below 50%, but I've got to be sure. One of the things that we're going to do is just seek the Lord. It would be an expensive trip, and if He gives provision as needed to make the trip, then that will be part of His leading, at least for us to go up there and look around. So it is possible that we would not make the trip. We're still seeking the Lord about that, but that's our desire. I'm not going anywhere until I'm confident. Exodus 33:15, God has given me this as we've been praying over this. And it was Moses talking to God as they were about to go into the promised land. He said unto him, "If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherewith shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight?" And the worst thing that I could do would be to uproot the Davis clan and go to New England and God's presence and His power not be on it, and for the people of it, for it to make a mockery of God among those people there. But at the same time, the worst thing that I could do would be to stay here if that's what God is calling us to do. That thought, not going up without God's presence, that applies to New England, that applies to anything that I do, anywhere that God might call us. My heart and my focus is here. You're my family. It is such a privilege to be an under-shepherd. in this church. Like I said, my heart is with you. But my ultimate allegiance is to the chief shepherd. And I've got to follow what he says. I've got to follow what he does or what he wants me to do. And if he calls, we're going to go. And we're going to go gladly because we'll be in the middle of the Lord's will and there'll be so much joy. I have to say, when I think about it, and those times when it feels like God is drawing me to that, the excitement is palpable. I mean, it's just, I can't describe it. And I was worried. We talked with the kids today. I'd already talked with one of the older ones, but we talked with the kids today, and I was afraid that they were going to have the Lee mentality. Daddy, we're going to miss you at Crooked Creek. And that's not what they said. And we got a positive response there. So again, two things that we need. We covet your prayers. If I had my druthers, I would be here several more years. That is what I want. And it very well might be what the Lord wants. But we've got to check this out. So pray in two ways, that God would make it clear what we're supposed to do, that He'd make it clear whether we're supposed to take the trip this summer. And then that He would provide a family our size would mean, we're looking at going for 2 weeks, a family our size, it would mean that we would probably need to camp and on the way up and on the way back. And so one of the things that we would like to get would be a pop-up camper. We have a little bit of money set aside for that, so we're praying about that. That's about all that our van could tow, but I think that it would be what we would need. So if you know of one to buy or maybe one to borrow, then that would be a huge help there, and it would give us a little bit of direction whether the Lord is definitely leading up there this summer or not. But one final thing before I leave. I haven't said it before, but I want to say it now. I want to thank y'all for letting me learn here, because that's what it's been. I'm green. I'm wet around the ears, if you want to use all those metaphors. And I've made mistakes, and y'all have loved me anyway. And as much as we would like to think that in other churches they give you the benefit of the doubt, I know that if I go out somewhere and I become the senior pastor, that might not always be the case. And I'm so grateful for what y'all have done for me here and how you've let me make those errors, and you've always supported me and loved me. So please pray, and I'll be glad to talk after the service, fill you in any more on that.
Okay. I've known about that. Now I'm glad to know that you folks are carrying that burden as well. And I've known about it for some good long little while. And he's right. It did shock me when he said that. Yankee grandchildren. Wow. I believe the first time you ever said Papa. Pow, right in the kisser, buddy. Okay. Okay. Well, anyway, enough of that. I promised that we were going to be out of here at 7:30, and I'm going to keep that promise. And therefore, I'm not going to preach either of the three sermons I had ready for y'all tonight. I think I preached enough this morning for y'all to get by. But I wanted you to have kind of a family night where you knew what God is doing here. It's a tremendous blessing when God continues to work and call people and lead people. And I just wonder if it wouldn't be good for us to conclude our service tonight by having a time of prayer for Noel and for Matt and his family, that God's will would be very clear in their lives.